org. I'm Jenny Gould with another edition of Flora Days. Guavas used to grow wild on the Barrier Island in Indian River County, and some folks grew them commercially. A farmer and Primitive Baptist preacher named Melvin Mathis grew guavas, beans, and other crops on 20 acres he owned on John's Island. But in 1931, he sold out. His grandson, Bill Harp, says Mathis had a tough time getting what turned out to be his final truckload of guavas to market.
He piled all these guavas up on his truck, and he took it to Vero, into the bridge in Vero. There was a hump in the Vero Bridge for smaller boats to go over. They didn't have to open up the big turntable of the bridge. But anyway, he tried to get up over this hump, and the truck just didn't have the power to get over. And so he tried two and three times, and each time he got more angry and more angry, until finally he just jumped out and started kicking and swearing at the truck, something that a minister shouldn't be doing.
Because the truck was laden with, what do you think, hundreds of guavas, thousands of guavas, how many?
I have no idea, but I think they were about 10 boxes high, and this full bed of the truck.
And that was cash for the coming year for the family?
Yes, that was their income, because they had lost their bean crop, and that was the only thing that they had left to sustain them through the year.
Did he ever get the truck across that bridge?
Yes, finally they took the guavas off of the back of the truck and drove the truck over the hump and then manually put the guavas back onto the truck on the other side. Needless to say, he had an audience watching, which mortified him.
Laughing at him, maybe.
Yeah, and not to mention his own sons that had never heard him speak like that, to swear or anything like that.
Once he got those guavas to market, and did he then put them on the train?
Yes, they were shipped to Pappy Company in Jacksonville, where they made guava jelly commercially.
Did you ever find out how much he made per box of guavas?
It's something ridiculous, like $1.25 a box. That's the big square crates. That's not a box. It wasn't very much, but to them at that time, it was a lot.
So once he got rid of those guavas, he decided that was the end of growing guavas on John's Island.
Yes, it was the last straw for him. He had had several other mishaps, and this was the end. And he went that night and talked to my grandmother Lydia and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to sell the land, and we're going to go west and grow citrus.
He sold the land on John's Island to another farmer, do you know?
No, he sold it to a man who was going to make a subdivision there.
At that time, in the 1930s?
Yes, Crumout. I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he sold it to Crumout for $2,000, 20 acres for $2,000.
Oh, my goodness. What do you think he would think if he were here today and saw John's Island?
Well, I think he's probably doing flip-flops in his grave right now. But at that time, $2,000 was a lot of money. He took it gladly. He bought the land out west of town with that money.
Bill Harp has just written a second book based on the lives of his grandparents. It has an interesting title.
Scrabbling, which means to dig into the earth with your hands and not expect to get much out of it.
Is that kind of the way he lived?
Yes, he said that he lived all of his life in depression, so the depressions of the 30s didn't mean anything to him. It had been a dream all my life to write these stories down. I went to the library in Vero to find stuff about my family, and there wasn't anything there. So I said, well, this has got to be remedied. I've got to do something about this.
Bill Harp was a music teacher and band director in the public schools of Indian River County for many years. Besides researching his family's history, he now does arrangements of music. You can listen to past Flora Days shows anytime by going to WQCS.org. Click on Programming and Audio Archive. For 88.9 FM, I'm Janie Gould.